Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
We're week two of a five-week look at the book of James. James, for reminder purposes, is the brother of Jesus. It's probable that the congregation, the community he's writing to, is probably in Jerusalem, as that's where James made his home after the resurrection of Jesus. James was martyred in about 62 or so AD, about the same time as Paul was martyred in Rome. St. Paul was martyred in Rome. Very probable that the community that James is writing to was a community of people that were formerly Jewish and were now Christian. In that world, at that time, formerly Jewish was not a concept they understood because the real schism between Christianity and Judaism had not really happened yet. You would go to synagogue, and you could go to synagogue, and synagogue would include possibly the worship of Jesus Christ about that time. The separation began to occur about 72 to 74 AD. This book probably predates that. I'm going to start the reading with where I wrapped up last week. Okay, page 229 is where you are in the Pew Bible, but I want to read you verse 27 of last week's reading. Just a little bit. Go ahead and put it up there, Rick, if you don't mind. This is where we stopped last week. And I tend to think that the last portion of this, to keep oneself unstained, is really what John is driving at. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Now he moves to a faith statement. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? Do you really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, have a seat here, please, while to the one who is poor you say, stand there or sit at my feet, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? So verse 1 is a belief statement. It's a faith statement. We now have an action statement. You do well if you really fulfill the royal law. According to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. Now he offers an illustration as to what he means by that. For the one who said, you shall not commit adultery, also said, you shall not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. That could also be translated as law of freedom. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works. Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. This is the word of God for the people of God. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is from Romans 3, verse 23. And I'm sure he's talking about all of you. He's not talking about me, I'm convinced. Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, that's a y'all message, but he's not talking to me, right? Oh, it said all. It said all. Me too? I'm part of all? My goodness gracious. For those of you that watched the Senate hearings this week, you got exposed to a movie that was quite old. 1960s movie, Spartacus. That ring a bell with anybody? And there was a moment in the hearings where there was an I am Spartacus moment, where the senator from New Jersey was basically stating the nature of the part of what the movie was all about. He says, "I am Spartacus." I like movies. I like movies a lot. One of my favorite movies that I've watched more than one time, maybe about 12, 14 times, is The Fugitive. The Fugitive. And in this movie, Harrison Ford didn't actually kill his wife, but he's been convicted of it. All right? And a train turns over and he escapes. And Tommy Lee Jones is a federal marshal hunting down Harrison Ford. And one of the great scenes inside the movie is Harrison Ford looks over at Tommy Lee Jones and he says, "I didn't kill my wife." All right? Does anybody remember what Tommy Lee Jones' response is? "I don't care. I don't care." All right. "I don't care." What James is saying here is that you can tell me how much faith you've got. You can tell me all this stuff about your faith. But unless I can see something tangible in that faith journey, I don't care. I don't care. He's saying that that's important to him. Now, I intentionally added back in that last verse from last week's reading because I thought it was helpful to us to understand the nature of what it is that James is driving at. Keep oneself unstained by the world. Keep oneself unstained by the world. And then he asks a question. Do you really believe in Jesus? Do you really believe in Jesus? And what's his illustration? You're not acting like it. You're certainly not acting like it. And then he uses this illustration in his context about rich and poor. All right? I would suggest to you in our context, it would be those who get it and those who don't get it. That would be the way I would maybe want us to think about that, because the rich poor might break down a little bit in ours. I don't know that retired Roy Goodart, or a doctor still currently practicing, Trawick, would sue anybody here, okay? I don't know that they would sue you, Linda, even though your initials are LDS, okay? I don't know if they would do that or not, all right? But I think what James is driving at is he's laying out this case of those who are rich and those who are poor, and it's really, to me, what he's driving at is those who get it and those who don't get it. And what is the it they don't get? They've become stained by the world. They've become stained by the world, and they are not presenting sufficient evidence of their walk with Christ. They say they believe in Christ, but they act like they don't get it. They're acting very much like they don't get it. And then he offers us that illustration. Then he comes back and says, and then he comes back to this thing about this royal commandment. This royal commandment. And the royal commandment should be familiar to us. For those of us that read a lot in the Gospels, the royal commandment here is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that kind of statement is red letter words. Red letter words means it was spoken by, pretend that's children's time, okay? The red letter words means it was spoken by there we go. Very good. Very good. If Dennis was asking the question by himself, the answer would be Bonhoeffer. But I did not. So, and Jesus is not making up the verse as he goes along. Jesus is quoting back to Leviticus 19, reminding us that we have this implicit responsibility to care for our neighbor. Now, somewhere in the words this morning, I think it might have been something Doug let us in, we used the word prophetically. Did you say that? You said that, right? Did you lead us in that? You'll take it if you didn't, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What we said is that James is a Jewish, strongly Jewish community. And he's focused on speaking the word of God as would be spoken by a prophet. And a prophet would often offer thoughts. This is a negative critique of the way you're doing things. Here's the positive critique of the way you should be doing it. And one of the things that the prophets do on a regular basis is they come up and say, you're behaving like the rest of the world. You're behaving like the rest of the world. If you're really a follower of this God Yahweh, and you really put your faith in this God Yahweh, you don't behave like the rest of the world. Or as James said it here, don't become stained by the world. Instead, I want you to behave in a different way than that. I want you to behave like Christ would behave. In the early part of the 20th century, people used to create these copper bands they would put around people's wrist, and it would say WWJD. Okay? What did that mean? What would Jesus do? Even in the 20th century, people were still, 1900 years after his execution and resurrection, they were still trying to ask the question of, what does it mean to be a Christian? And the answer is, look at Jesus. Look to Jesus as your example of how you would properly behave. And he then takes us over here, he then took us to that example about you are to live according to the royal law. You might ask the question, royal law? It's because you're now part of a new kingdom. You're part of a new kingdom. So this idea of being part of the new kingdom, here is the royal law to live by. What was Jesus' question? What was Jesus' answer to the question when anybody ever asked him what's the most important commandment? Being a good rabbi, the standard joke about rabbis is, why does the rabbi always answer a question with a question? And the rabbi responds, why shouldn't I answer the question with a question? Okay? Well, here, what Jesus has done is he's been asked as a rabbi, what's the most important commandment? And he gives them two. He gives them a commandment out of Deuteronomy, gives a commandment out of Leviticus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And he's pointing back to these two. And so that's the invitation there for us. And so that is a mark of being in the kingdom, is by your willingness to follow that. So now the sin we have here is that people seem to want to, this is not a sermon about sin. This is a sermon about getting it and not getting it, okay? But the sin that has been laid out here for us is who does James go back to? He goes back to the Big Ten. He goes back to the Big Ten. He goes back to two of the Big Ten. Why? It's imperative for him to do that. He's Jewish, and his community is Jewish. And they would go back to that ten. There's 613 commandments in the Torah, somewhere in there. So 365 of which are negatives, thou shalt not. All right? And he quotes two of them here. You've heard the joke, I think. Moses comes down from Mount Sinai and says, I've got good news and bad news. Okay, what's the good news? I got him down to 10, all right? What's the bad news? Adultery's still in, all right? And the point is, you've got to follow them all. And the Big Ten here is the ones that he's driving at. You need to follow the Big Ten. You can't sit here and say, I'm okay, I got a 90. I got a 90 on this. Well, what did you do wrong? Oh, I just murdered somebody. Okay? No, that's not the way it works. That's not what James is saying. James is saying it's important to follow all of the law. Or as Tommy Lee Jones would, when Harrison Ford would say to him, I didn't kill my wife. Tommy Lee Jones says, I don't care. James would say, I got a 90 on my Big Ten. The answer that James would give would be, I don't care. So it's imperative for us to understand that what's going on here is those who get it and those who don't get it. That's what's going on in this passage. It's important for us to understand that we are called to not only talk the talk, we're called to walk that talk as well, which I communicated to you last week as part of my fascination with Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He didn't just talk, he walked it. He was safe in New York in 1939. He goes back to Germany in 1939, leading eventually to his execution as being a part of the plot to kill Hitler. He didn't just talk about being a follower of Christ, he walked it as well. Now, then he gets to this section that I think is relevant to our world. I'm a retired military. I use my military ID card a lot to get a discount here or there. I did it just on Friday, on Saturday at, when do we go to Home Depot? It's Friday. All house projects are not completed at the Shaw White household until you've been to Home Depot 3 times. Okay. So I went to Home Depot, pulled my card out, got my 10% discount, and the person just sort of has an eye. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. Right back. They're just saying it pro forma. It's just a little ritual they go through. Your green ID card, blah, blah, blah. Thank you for your service. All right? Well, in James's case, what he's driving at is a situation sort of like thank you for your service, but the person has no idea what they're talking about. Okay? And instead, he says he got a person standing in front of them that needs something. And the person in this first century time says, essentially, have a nice day. Have a nice day. I'll pray for you. Have a nice day. And what does James say about that? He doesn't like it. He does not like it. Why? Because you don't get it. You don't get it. He was saying you're being contaminated by the ways of the world. Now, we're Methodists. Even though I quote Dietrich Bonhoeffer quite a bit, and he's a Lutheran, and Mario Alejandre has said multiple times when he preached for me last year, he said, I'm a closet Lutheran. I took that as a compliment, okay? We are indeed Methodist. I want to quote John Wesley. And I think at some point, when you get the poetry of this, don't hesitate to join me, all right? Do all the good you can. By all the means, you can. In all the ways, you can. In all the places, you can. At all the times, you can. To all the people, you can. As long as ever, you can. That doesn't sound very passive to me. Does that sound passive to anybody here? Sounds pretty aggressive to me. It sounds like he's inviting us to get it. He's inviting us to get it and understand what's going on. And he's not only just offering these thoughts as John Wesley in 18th century England. He's offering these thoughts because that's his interpretation of what Jesus would say. What would Jesus do in our world? He would say to us, let your faith be demonstrated by your action in the world. The invitation there is for you to get it. Now, come back to the challenges here for us. Paul, in Romans there, communicates that all have fallen short. All have fallen short. Some can sit here and say, well, okay, I do everything else except gossip. I'm a terrible gossip, which is, by the way, I am, all right? Terrible gossip. Or I'm okay at everything else, but I don't exercise any stewardship back to the church. Or you can fill in your own explanation of your own rationalization of how you don't get it. Now, I will say to you, to actually answer the question of do I get it requires a bit of introspection. It requires a moment of perhaps sitting in your chair and then sort of lifting yourself out of that chair and looking over at yourself and saying, Dennis, do you get it? Do you really get it? And I would say to you, when I focus on the pronoun me and I don't get it. I would say to you, when I get angry just like that because I'm too tired, I don't get it. And the question might be for you is, how is it you don't get it? Because that's the issue before us. How is it that we are asked to understand of what it is to truly believe in Christ Jesus in the world and allow our actions to answer the question, are you a Christian? In words that are attributed to Francis of Assisi, and it popped up about 200 years after his death, so most people believe he didn't actually say this, but it's attributed to him, and it sounds like something he might have said. You have this quote, which is, every time possible, preach the gospel, preach the good news, and when absolutely necessary, use words. All right? What's Francis or whoever quoted that on behalf of Francis saying? He's saying how you act matters. What is the biggest criticism that young people have of Christians? It's our hypocrisy. The word hypocrisy means actor. We're acting as if we're Christians. We're saying we're Christians, but we're not like Bonhoeffer. We're not safe in New York in 1939 and getting on board a Pan Am Clipper and flying back to Berlin. Okay? We're not like that. We want it to be safe and neat and tidy, to which James would say, I don't care. He would give us the same explanation that Tommy Lee Jones gave to Harrison Ford in The Fugitive. I wonder if the title has any bearing on it, because maybe are we fugitives at time from the truth of Jesus Christ? Here's the big idea. The big idea for today is that we are charged with being different from the world. Whether that's stained or polluted, whatever word you choose to use, we're invited to be different than the rest of the world. And we can say that we're people of faith, but if that faith is not matched by a corresponding action in the world, we're getting an F in the Big Ten. We're getting an F in following this guy Jesus around. And what James would say here to us is, I don't care what you say. What I care is what you do. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Gracious and loving God, remind us that we should be rigorous in all things. Rigorous particularly in judging ourselves and asking ourselves, where are we on this walk? And maybe just a little less rigorous in the evaluation of others and operating with grace and kindness in our relationship with them. We ask this blessing in the name of Christ Jesus, and all of God's children say, amen. Please stand as you are able. We're going to
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.